This is Paul speaking. He says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heavy heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God be blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And now let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. She'll put it on the board also there. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 through 17. The scripture said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Let's bow our hearts to the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, Lord, this is your words, as Brother Daniel was praying a while ago. It's not our responsibility to bring this word to pass, to bring healings to pass, Lord. It is your word. But Lord, it is our responsibility to believe and to position ourselves according to your word, Lord, yes, that you would bring it to pass. And tonight we ask, God, that the things that are in these scriptures, the things that you put on my heart, you would just come open them to us, Lord, that every one of us, Lord, and including me as the speaker tonight, Lord, that revelation would fill our hearts, Lord, that we might understand more about who we are and the hour that we live in and the opportunities, Lord, that we have right at our fingertips by your grace. We ask, God, that you would help us in these things and bless every heart now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I guess tonight we'll just call this Esau's mistake. We'll talk about that. You know, I've been sharing with you, and I just, before I get on the topic, I just want to say a few things about, you know, I've been telling you that rapture is really on my mind. And I don't, you know, we can't choose dates. We don't do that kind of thing. You know, matter of fact, we know that time shall be no more. That's already happened. But I feel more excited now, more stirred in my heart now, that if there was ever a time for us to be making ourselves ready, there was ever a time for the bride to put on that wedding garment and to be what she's supposed to be right now is that time. Amen. As I've said, I feel like we're just about maybe the last 1 or 2% of rapture cycle, and we know it is a cycle, amen?
Right.
It is something that has been taking place in us. It has been changing us. But you have to understand something, saints, and you correct me if I'm wrong on this, But in my way of looking at this, of all the people of all ages, when you look at the bride, she is the elite.
Right.
And I'm not saying that because her herself, but I'm saying, you know, God has picked the people at this end time that He ordained not to fail, that He ordained to be the bride that would fulfill His word, not make the mistake that Eve made, not make the mistake that the early church made or different ones has made, but absolutely come back and do exactly what God has said she would do. And that He actually positioned her in a position that it makes her elite. And so, you know, as we go from day to day, as we do whatever we do, you know, we spend hours, minutes, seconds doing all kinds of things, whether it's work or it's on our phone or it's talking to our friends. We're doing all these things. But at the end of the day, can we say that we've moved closer to God? Because what I'm beginning to see now is that when I keep saying we need to move up on up into Christ, I'm realizing that the first place that He needs to have in our life, and I know that, you know, we all would say, well, He is first place. We love Him. But, and yet, still I think that maybe that there's something missing there. How many's ever witnessed, and maybe you haven't, how many's ever witnessed maybe a couple, a man and woman that's been married for years, and maybe there's some neglecting going on. They live together, they look happy, but maybe perhaps there's just some neglecting going on there. And then after a while, one of them decides, you know, I've had enough, I'm out of here. And it gets in, it has to get in that kind of mode, and then the other person realizes how bad they've been. And so then now all of a sudden they're ready to try and make things, you know, and it would have been better for that person to have known that ahead of time. Brother Branham said there's a desperation we need to have, and he says, you know, you can't make desperation for yourself. But he said many people, when they're on their deathbed, they're desperate trying to do things, and he said, you know, they should have done that beforehand.
Right?
And so, you know, what if the so-called bride of Christ is actually neglecting?
Yeah. Come on.
They love Him. They're about a lot of things about Him every day.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things that they've not given over to.
That's right.
And I'm realizing more and more that we're in an hour right now where those things that's always been amiss, there, those little things that maybe didn't seem like little, they seem like little things, we realize that now they're big things.
Come on.
In the fact that. We want to have a pure conscience before the Lord. We don't want to have anything hindering us in our walk with the Lord. And the more I see it, the more I realize it is a love affair. It is a love test. And so I really believe that our hearts should be aflame for the Lord now more than ever before.
Yeah.
And that between now and the time our bodies take a change, our hearts should become more aflame and more aflame for Him. That we get to such a place where really we have to have Him and nothing else. If it takes us to forsake all others to have Him to that degree. And so that's really how I feel about the way the Lord is moving us in this direction. I want to see the things that should be happening in the bride of Christ right now. The things that should be happening in our hearts and in our experience. That is that final holding off for getting her ready. Well, whatever that is, you know, I'm not going to stand here and tell you that I know all the ins and outs of what it is. But whatever it is, the readiness of the bride, because Brother Sam said that's the only thing left, is the readiness of the bride. So whatever's left between us and body change, the final waxing of the finish or whatever it might be, I want to see that taking place in my life, and I want to see it taking place in everybody else's life. And I fear that there's too many things that are still standing in the way that's taking up too much devotion.
Right. Yeah.
And so I know it's probably not going to be a popular position to take, you know, with ministry to really, but, you know, God is a God of correction. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that now. I didn't plan on to fit in this, but about correction. We read there in Hebrews where it was talking about God, He will correct His children. We didn't read the part, but it was just before we read there in Hebrews. It's talking about God correct, and our fathers on this earth would correct us, and how that all children, you know, he corrects all of his children. If you don't, then you're a bastard child, and, you know, but he will correct them, and that no correction for the time seems to be joyous, right? But afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness,
right?
Because he molds within you. His correction has a purpose to amend you and change you. It's not wrath. It's not trying to get even, but it's trying to help you and change you and work his character into you. That's what his kind of correction is. And the scriptures is going down through there before we got to where we were reading, and it tells us that when that correction comes, don't just be all, whoa, you know. You know, it says to lift up the hands and hang down and, you know, and make straight paths for your feet and that sort of thing. What? Because we've said this many times, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Well, how could that be? Well, because if you know God has loves you and is correcting you, you know you're his child.
Right.
And that's worth more than anything else. To know that you're a child of God, that's worth more than anything else. And so when it says, when this correction comes, though it might be harsh, when this correction comes, it's not going to feel good. But if you'll understand you belong to him, don't let that correction get you down in the mully grubs. Don't act like you're nobody. Stand up and rejoice. Lift up your hands and rejoice and thank God that you are a child of God.
Amen.
That he loves you enough to correct you, to amend you, to make you like him.
Right.
And so as it leaves that portion of scriptures, we come into the place where it talks about Esau and the things that we read there about him. And so we're going to talk about Esau just a little bit. We read the scriptures there in Romans where he said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. How many remembers what Brother Ram said about that? You know, we read the scriptures there. We said, before the children were born, before either one of them had done any good or evil, that the purpose of election, of God's election, would stand, it was said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. And what Brother Branham told us was, is the reason why that God loved Jacob was because Jacob said, I've got to have that birthright.
Right.
And the reason why he hated Esau is because Esau had no respect for the birthright. Jacob, though he was a deceiver and a supplanter and a trickster and all that, but Jacob had this attitude. He had such a reverence and such a desire for that birthright that he said, I'll do whatever I have to get it. I've got to have that birthright. Esau had it by right.
Yeah.
It was given to him by right. But he had no care for it. He had no respect for that birthright.
Amen.
And that's why God said that. So you find out that in Israel with Abraham, he gave Abraham a promised land. And that promised land to them is the same thing that the Holy Ghost, the life of the Holy Ghost, is to us. So here's Jacob and Esau. And Esau has been given right to this promised land as a firstborn. He's given this inheritance that's going to pass on from his dad to him, and he has it by birthright. And so you find out what we're looking at here is that God had told Abraham, that land, I'm giving it to you, and everything you'll ever need to prosper is right there in that land.
Right.
And as long as you're there, you'll have plenty to eat, you'll be able to raise your family, you'll prosper, you become as many as the stars of the heaven and the sand of the sea. Everything you'll need is right there, but you got to stay there. You got to be in that promised land. And so naturally a person would have to have those, when God had given that promise to Abraham would have to have a respect for that promise. He'd have to stop and say, you know what? I choose to believe this, and I choose to hold this promise very high in reverence because God has given this to me, and this is my ticket. This is my ticket to survive. This is my ticket for my offspring, for generations to come. Everything I'll ever need, I'll never be defeated. I'll have need or want for nothing because I'll have everything.
Yeah.
And all this that he's given me as a promise, this is something that God has chose to give me, and it's not something I did, I worked for. It's something God, by his grace, has given to me. Mm-hmm. And so I would think, you know, if God was doing that for us. You know, I think we could have great respect for that promise. That, you know what? God has basically said, when he told them, you can have this promised land, this land, it's a land full of your milk and honey. Basically, what God said is, here, I give you life. Right?
Amen.
I give you life. Everything you'll ever need to live and prosper and multiply, there it is. I give it to you, and it was in the form of a promise. And this is what Esau had right to.
Right?
By birth, by first birth, and you'll find out the first birth never has respect to it, to the promise of God.
Right.
But that first birth, it never will. And so Esau had right to this. He had right to life.
Yeah.
Right? But you find out he didn't have respect for it. So when God gave that to Abraham, Abraham, you know, gave it to Isaac, Jacob, all the way on down. that was the thing there, was that God was giving that. And Brother Brown told us that Jacob, though it wasn't given to him, right? Because he's not the firstborn. I know there was, you know, a different thing about coming out and putting the thread on his on him and going back in, and Esau coming out and all that kind of stuff. But Esau was the firstborn, and Jacob, so Jacob didn't have the same right that Esau did. But Jacob had respect to it. And Jacob said, I don't care what I have to do, I'm going to get that birthright. So Jacob had respect to life. You know, Brother Graham said, life is a sacred thing to God, and he writes it in a book. God, life is a sacred thing to God. He just doesn't give it out to just, you know, not eternal life. He just doesn't let out there, let everything come along and get it, right? It's sacred to him. And so you find out that this whole thing about giving that promised land to Abraham and to his offspring was a sacred thing.
Right.
Now, we know that, and this just comes to mind, but we know that holiness, you know, God is holy. But anything that pertains to God is holy. If he's on the mountain, then the mountain's holy.
Yep.
So if he gives you a divine order to walk in, that's a holy walk. Mm-hmm. Everybody agree?
Right.
And anything that's outside of God's economy and his order is unholy.
Right.
Right? Because it's contrary and it's against. So because everything God has is pertaining to life. When he's giving out all these instructions and giving out all these truths and all these things, they're for us to live by. And they make us live and not die.
That's right.
We live, we prosper when he gives us these truths. When we live by them and when we accept him and that sort of thing. And so, you know, he gives us life, but anything else is not life. And so this is holiness. And anything other than holiness is unholiness.
Right.
Right? And we read the scripture where it said we have to follow after holiness, because without holiness we're not going to see the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? So translate that. Without we walk in the ways of life that is given to us by God, we're not going to get there.
That's right.
We have to walk in the things that he provides. It's his provided way, and it's his package, his gift of life to us. Well, it was a land, a physical land to them. But for you and I, it's a life in the Holy Ghost. It's the promised word of God that he's given us.
Yep.
He's walked out and said, I give you life. Here's my holiness. Here's me, because I'm holy, and I'm giving you part of me, and here I am. And just take that and live and prosper, and you'll never be defeated. You'll never have need of something, because it'll always be there. And that's what God has said to us. And so you find out we, each believer, we're challenged with the same decision,
right,
that Esau had. And that is, will we have respect for this promise? Well, if Esau would have had respect for the promise, he'd have acted differently.
Right.
And the scripture said that for one morsel, one measly little morsel, one meal is what it was, turned out to be. For one meal, he was willing to give up that whole gift of God, that whole gift of life.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But you see, we're faced with the same thing. God has said, I give to you this promise. You have a right to it. I'm giving that to you. And it's going to depend on our attitude toward that promise is what happens.
Yeah.
His attitude toward the promise, he didn't care for it. And so, just for one morsel of bread, he sold it. And then afterwards sought to repent over it and could not find a way to repent.
Yeah.
And sought it carefully. Sought it with tears and couldn't do it. And so, God has given, he gave him that opportunity, and there it was. It was a decision. And now he comes along and he gives us the same thing. An inheritance or a promise that is the promise of life. Everything we would need, everything that would be established. And you realize when a people are walking along, if they're always in need and they never have their needs met, that's not a very good representation of a family of God.
Right.
Think about it. We're supposed to have salvation, healing, whatever divine miracles. We're supposed to have all of those things in our midst. And then when we don't have those things happening in us and around us at all, we're not very good representatives of the children of God.
Right. Amen.
Because God has said, look, you're my children. I give to you these things. And if you live in these, this is what you're going to have all around you and all about you all the time.
Right.
You'll always have these things. But if you're in that promise, well, obviously to be in that promise, you have to accept it and hold it in high regard, and be reverent to it, and not be willing to give it up for anything,
right.
Whether it be a morsel of bread or something big.
Right.
We have to hold it in high regard. He had to hold it in high regard, and he didn't. But Jacob did. And of course, that's a type of the new birth, obviously. You say Jacob, but he desired that birthright, and the scriptures testified there that God loved Jacob and hated Esau. And a prophet who's a divine interpreter of the word come along and told us what that helped us understand what that means. And of course, once you get into the revelation of Jesus Christ, it makes sense. You understand why? Because God has imparted life, and he expects us to have great reverence to it. And so, he comes to you and I, and he says, I give to you life. Right here. Somebody have a message book. I'm going to use this church ink book right here. I give to you life. You want it? How are you going to treat it? How are you going to treat it? This is the same thing that he offered Esau, a physical land that they could prosper in. God's given us everything we need, an end-time message, taking this word and shining a light on it and making it come clear to us. And he said, here, end-time bride, I give it to you.
Right.
What is our attitude for this?
Yeah.
Now, what are we going to let get in the way of this? Mm-hmm. When God has delivered, do you know there's generation on top of generation that have loved to have a prophet in their day and never had it?
Right.
But we've had one, a vindicated one, who's a divine interpreter of the word. That prophet's been here, and God has just laid him on our doorstep. And we don't have to question what these truths are. We know what these truths are. And God doesn't say, well, you know, just listen to him. He comes along in the Holy Ghost and brings that revelation up in us. And we realize this prophet brought the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now the Holy Ghost is revealing it to us, and we know he's given us this end time revelation.
Yeah.
We are to be Christ in the flesh. And what do we do with it?
Right.
What are we going to say when God has said, here it is, what are you going to do with it? What are we going to sell out for it? Because some of the things that people let get in their way ain't even as much as a morsel of bread.
Right.
But yet they let it get in the way.
Right.
And the scriptures by type tells us that if we don't have respect to this,
right,
we know what happens.
Right.
Then when people don't have respect for God and for what he hands out to them by his grace and by his mercy, then they lose the opportunity to have it. That's what the scriptures tell us. God is basically, when the children of Israel, when he gave that land to them, When he gave that land to them, to Abraham, every mountain meant something. Every valley meant something. Every little stream and creek meant something. Right?
Yeah.
Every bit of those features of that land could be used to prosper Abraham and his children. Every scripture, every quote, everything that we saw happen in that life of that prophet, every bit of that is there for our benefit. But people are so easy just to throw this out and throw that out. Well, this don't mean this. It all has been brought to us by Almighty God so that we'd understand ourselves and be a people today. And so, as I was starting to say a while ago, whenever they had that promise there, they could live in it. They could have everything they would need. They could prosper. And as long as they're living there, the rest of the world could look at them and would see the image of a people of God. A people that's different. A people that's different than a people who could survive when nobody else can survive.
Right.
Did you know there's never been any people in anywhere in history of man, there's never been a nation that has been taken captivity and scattered out across all nations that ever didn't, that they all were just eat up and absorbed into other cultures and became no more except for Israel. Israel's been dispersed all around the world, dispersed, and everybody else wouldn't even have a language anymore. They wouldn't know who they were. They would be so absorbed into culture for breeding and mixed breeding and all that, they wouldn't exist no more except Israel. Because Israel's a type of us. You see? So even though all that stuff happened to them, God still says, they're my people and I'm bringing them back together and they'll still be my nation and they'll still have their language because God said so.
Yeah.
And all of that is a type of us.
Right.
No matter what happens.
Right.
No matter what happens and what has happened throughout the dark ages, through all the ages, God said, I'm going to have a people and they're still going to have my language.
Amen.
That's right.
They're still going to be my people and they're still going to be gathered together to an end time message. They're still going to have revival, and I'm going to come down in the midst of them and be their God.
Amen.
He's promised that, right? And that's why we're here.
Amen.
That's why we're here right now.
Amen.
Because if God had not sent this prophet in this day to gather us together, where would we be?
Come on.
Yeah.
We would not be a people gathered once again around the Word of God. Nobody else out there is gathered around the Word. They have no message. I said that Sunday. They don't have a message. They don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
Half of them don't even believe scriptures anymore.
Right.
But we have a message. Why? Because God has gathered us back to our homeland.
Amen.
He's gathered us back to this right here, and we're speaking with one voice now.
Yes.
Right? Just like He's doing over there with them. And we are in revival now, just like Israel's in their revival, because God said so. And so once again, here it is where the churches throughout all ages had no regard for life. And God said, I'm going to bring people back to it anyway.
Right.
And so here we are, we've been brought back to the promised word of God. That in this hour, we'd once again be His people. And the world ought to be able to look at us and say, that's a people of God. Because when the rest of the world falls to this and falls to that and has this filth and that tom and rot that's living and abounding in their quarters, these people don't.
Yeah, right.
When they can't keep their marriages together, this people does.
Yeah, come on.
When they can't find healing for their sicknesses, this people do. They have it. See?
Amen.
Right? That's what it shows. See? They don't have peace, but this people has peace.
Come on.
This people, They're neurotics. They don't love one another the right way. They don't treat one another the right way. They don't have the right, men and women don't have the right ideas toward each other. But this people does.
Come on.
See what I'm saying?
Amen.
There should be a difference. Like I said Sunday, God said that you may know the difference that I put between the Egyptians and the children of Israel. God made a difference.
Amen.
And He said, I want the people to know. I want you to know how much difference I've placed. That on this night, while Egypt is crumbling, and a crying Egypt like never has been and won't be afterwards, while all that's going on over here in your quarters, a dog's not even going to open his mouth and move his tongue toward man or beast.
Right, right.
That you might know the difference. Now, saints, you see what I'm saying? We should not have the lackings that we have in our midst.
That's right.
We should be so much different than the people out the world, and not to be in arrogance, but we should be happy. We should walk with integrity and joy and dignity with a kingly walk in our steps.
Amen.
Because of who we are. Because God has said so.
Amen.
God has said, "You're my people." And He's proved it, because we're the only people on the face of the earth other than Israel that's actually being gathered back to something. They're scattered. They don't know where they're going out there. But here's a people that God has rallied around something which we know to be the truth. And it should make us different.
Amen.
We should be able, I'm going to say it, raise the dead, cast out devils, all those things should be resident in the midst of this people like never before.
Amen.
That's right, amen.
Now, how's it going to be?
Come on.
Well, I'll tell you how it's going to be. It's going to be when we have respect to that birthright. That He has come down to us, a people that's nobody. And He's come down and said, "I give to you this. I lay a prophet's message right on your doorstep."
Right.
"And I give it to you on tape, and I give you in all these different forms. And I vindicate it, and I do things in your midst, and I'm showing you that I'm making a difference between you and them. And what you've got to do is you've got to take this, and you've got to embrace it."
Amen.
You've got to hold it in high regard and adopt it in your life. In other words, you've got to take this token and apply it.
Amen.
This life. Because it's not your life and it's not my life. It's His life. And He says, "Here, I give it to you. I'm giving you myself. I'm here as Christ to come to you as my bride. I'm giving you myself. Take me. Embrace me. And let me become your all in all."
Yes.
"Let me become everything that you think about all day long. Let me become so important to you that you don't let anything get in the way between me and you and our fellowship."
Amen.
Right. And that's the thing. We don't have that intimate fellowship with Him like we should.
Right.
We don't. He deserves more than what we give Him.
Amen.
And this age is designed to make it to where we don't.
Right.
But God has promised that He'll have a people that will give honor to Him, that He will come down and be that people. And so I'm just wanting to show you the parallel tonight, that God has given us the same thing that Esau had right to, but he had no respect to. And the scripture said that he was a profane person. And I know if you look it up in the Old Testament, there's a certain profane could be like someone who's been stabbed or thrust through with a sword, or somebody that's dead. It's profane, okay? But in the New Testament here, when you look at it, called him, said, "Lest there be a profane person as Esau." So God looked at this. Esau's response to the life and the thing that was given to him and his lack of concern for that, God looks at that and He uses the word profane or profanity. And so I just, to help you understand what the way I look at that word right there, a profane person, of course, obviously unholy, back to what I said a while ago, here's my ways of life. If you walk in it, you're holy. He didn't want it.
Right.
So he was unholy. And so it was unholy, but outside, his character was outside of a character that was acceptable by God. Because God had given that to him and expected in return great reverence for this that he had given.
Amen.
And he didn't offer reverence. How many has ever heard when Brother Branham was in discernment, the Holy Spirit speaking, and he had to rebuke the people? He said, "You respond when that Holy Ghost speaks to you."
Right? Amen. Yep.
Right? Respond to him. Because he is a timid, it's the Holy Spirit's like a dove, he is timid. He wants to come down and he wants to bless you and light upon your life, but you've got to have a nature about you and a character and an environment around your home that he's happy to come. Because just the littlest thing will make him fly off. And wait a while. You have to wait until things get back to the way it should be, get it to, and then he'll come back at his time. Well, listen, it's not fun having him out there sitting on a limb. Right? It's not. It's better to have the presence of the Lord in your life every day, not out there wishing you could get him to come back.
Right.
But yet, so much of what we do can drive him away. And so, it's, you know, every time I'm driving around the house in different places, when I get in my truck and get ready to go, a lot of times there'll be dust. They'd be there in the driveway or on the side of the road or something like that. And every time I come driving by, it grieves me when me driving by makes them fly off. I actually think about it. I've done it for years. Because that's a representation of the Holy Spirit. And they're so timid. And I'm just driving. I'm not trying to hurt them or nothing.
Yeah.
But just driving by, and it scares them and they fly off.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. I and there's been a few times where I've been able to drive by and they've stayed there and I've rejoiced. Because I don't want my actions to drive him away.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I don't. You want to know how the rapture is going to take place. But you know when that dove flies away, the mate goes with him. I mean, watches that. Every time one flies away, the other one goes with him. When Jesus gets ready to take his life from this earth, she's going with him.
Right. Amen.
Just as sure as anything.
Amen.
And so we know that time is coming. And so I want you to see that parallel that God has given us. And it's the form of a end time message. This is Christ. This is our rapture. This is our bridegroom. It is our token. It's all one and the same thing. It's the person of Jesus Christ. And how intimate are we with him? How much room do we actually give him in our life every day? I said this, I think, at Bartlesville. When we had the watch night service. And I said, you know, you can take your phone out, you can go home in the evening, and you can take your phone out and you can say, you don't have to do something bad on it, okay? You say, well, I'm going to do some shopping on Amazon. You know, I've got a garden I'm going to plant soon. I want to find some seeds and stuff. And you can sit on your phone and you can shop on Amazon, you can shop on eBay for stuff that you might need that's not sinful, something you're going to have and something God doesn't have a problem with you having it at all. But you can spend 3 hours doing that.
All right, that's right.
And as you do it, I'm going to say it this way and then I'll try to correct it if I remember to do it when I get done. There's nothing to resist that 3 hours of searching on Amazon and shopping around and all that. But try to pray.
All right.
Try to be in devotion.
Amen.
And you've got resistance all the way.
That's right.
But you don't with this.
Right.
Or whatever, a book. It could be something, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I'm using this as an example because this is a biggie. Computers and because this is a connection to that fallen world out there.
Right.
Now, I say there's no resistance there. But if you've got an experience with God, that voice is always there wooing you. It's always there. If you see a people that can sit and they can watch anything and spend endless hours at it, and there's never something that pricks their heart and tells them you need to spend some time with the Lord, I'll show you a person that needs to get closer to God.
Amen.
And I'm not judging them by saying that. I'm just saying I know how this works. And if you husbands don't pay attention to your wives or vice versa, you do it long enough, you're going to have serious troubles in your marriage.
Right.
And it's the same thing. And so people need to examine ourselves daily and ask ourselves about the time that we spend with the Lord. And I'm not talking about doing this out of legalism. I'm not talking about saying, well, Brother Ramsey had a good Christian, read his Bible, pray every day, so I better read the Bible, because I'm saying that there ought to be a love in your heart where you want to read, that you want to talk to him, that you love to get in his presence and talk to him about somebody else that you love that's in need. You understand what I'm saying? Because that's the kind of person he is. If you husband's wife, the confidence and that you find in one another, you sit down and you just need somebody to talk to, and you sit down and you talk to him and you find comfort in talking to your mate. And you can talk things over. That's the way it is with the Lord.
Amen.
that you should have that. And I'm not, and so it's there should be something in there that wants more, that loves him more, that cries out for, and something that's powerful enough there to say no to things that get in the way.
That's right, amen.
I'm not saying that you can't spend a few minutes shopping on Amazon, but I'm saying that we should all bring ourselves into a place where our relationship with the Lord, where he is pleased with us and we know he is.
Amen.
And we're pleased to be in his presence and he's pleased to be in our presence. And we walk daily entertaining that relationship more than anything else. But this is it. And if I have to do without physical bread and water, if I have to do without friends, if I have to do without a job, whatever I have to do without to have him, I'm going to have it.
Yes.
I'm going to have him and do without the others. And the scriptures confirm that any other way. If you don't forsake father and mother and all the, you know, and follow after him, see, it talks about it in all different ways. He's got to be first. Look at Mary and Martha. This came to mind today, I was thinking. You know, here's Martha. She's running around trying to fix prayer. She's trying to fix food for the Lord.
Yeah. Right.
But Mary's sitting there at his feet listening to every word.
That's right.
And so Martha gets frustrated and says, Jesus, aren't you? Can't you see that I'm busy doing all this stuff? And she's sitting there doing nothing. Think about Jacob and Esau.
Yeah.
Esau was a shyster. But Esau wanted that which was needful.
Yeah.
And the same thing with her. And he said, Martha, you're cumbered about with all this stuff. But Mary has chosen that needful part.
Charlie.
What was that needful part? That needful part wasn't up about doing all this stuff or whatever. The needful part was that word. Because I want to tell you something. I guess I was thinking about this morning when I was praying. But you know, I have a lot of gifts about me. Okay, I can buy my wife a dress, or I can buy her a car, or I can take her out to supper. Those are gifts.
Yeah.
They're not me.
Right.
And even you know, let's say, and I think she does. I think my wife thinks that I'm fairly handsome. But being handsome is not me.
But
the real me is the character, the person inside. And that's who she fell in love with. Because if it's not that way, if I got maimed or messed up in a car wreck and looked like the hunchback of Notre Dame for the rest of my life, if she really loved the real person in me, it wouldn't make a bit of difference.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Man.
It's not his tongues. It's not his miracles. It's not all these things. It's not the shouting. It's not the wonderful praise and music and all that kind of stuff. It's the personal relationship with him, the word.
Amen.
That's it. And Mary had chosen that needful part. That's what she was hanging on to. And that's the difference between us and the world. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. To look at that word, that gift of life, that promise, and hold it in higher regard than anything else.
Yeah.
To the degree that the whole world could tell that you have it in high regard.
Amen.
Because a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid, right? Right?
Sure.
The bride of Christ is that city, that New Jerusalem, on a mountain, on a hill.
Amen.
She cannot be hid.
Amen.
There's nothing, as I said Sunday, that token they had to put that blood there, everybody had to know. Everybody that knew you walked by and said, oh, you're one of them. You're one of those Branhamites.
Come on.
I didn't say that Sunday, but I'm saying now for you. You're one of those people that a prophet has come to visit you. Moses. And he's told you this, and you're doing what he said, and you hold that in high regard so much that now we can laugh at you because you've identified yourself with this prophet and his message.
Come on.
Right?
Amen.
That's right. We'll identify ourselves with this word to such a degree that they can look at us and make fun of us.
Amen.
But the reason why we do it is because we see that it's Christ the Word. It's not just a letter. It's not just a written letter that's laying there dead. But it is a revealed life, a revealed word that has spoken to us, and we know it's truth. And nothing will ever take that away from us.
Amen.
And so we're happy to be identified with that. And if it comes to the place where they actually pass a law and tell the whole world, if you can find a brain them out, you go out and kill them, we'll still have to be identified with that message. Right?
Amen.
That's how much we love Him and know Him in that revelation. It'll make a difference what people would say about me and how people would try and turn against me. My wife would still love me.
Amen.
Right? And even if that meant she had to become under fire, she'd still love me if it's true love.
Right.
And that's the way it is. Our love for this word has got to become number one. And we don't want to be like Esau and just let something else get in the way and just trade it out for something else. Trade it out for a temporary pleasure. I'm not prepared to share details with it, but science is studying things, obviously. And science is studying people, and they know that the people are going nuts over this stuff.
Right.
They know that it's a captivating power.
Right.
So they're studying it. And they're already figuring out things that take place in the human that's released just from being able to click. Just the ability to surf and click. It don't even have to be something bad. But just to be able to feed that desire, oh, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there, somewhere. They're monitoring that and they're studying that, and there's things that are taking place inside, and it's bad news.
Right.
They're beginning to find this stuff out. It's serious business. And it's the addictions that are unleashed by today's modern technology is far worse than anything before.
Right.
They're already figuring this out. I've been studying up on it a little bit. Because I knew, you've heard me for years. You've heard me for years say it. This electronic age, this fourth dimension, it's bad news.
Right.
And people spend so much time on it. I realize, you know, and it's the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
Well, I tell you what, it's 99.99% evil. Right? It can be used for good, and we do use it for good. But even when it's something that's right, we can let those things rob us of that intimate time. Listen, as I said the other day, when it comes time to be raptured, there's going to be kids that wanting to get married. There's going to be kids wanting to graduate from college. And when that rapture order comes, they're going to be raptured. And they're not going to be disappointed because they didn't graduate.
Right.
They're not going to be disappointed because they didn't get married. And they're not going to be disappointed when they can't take this with them.
Right.
Well, if that's the case, if death was to strike you right now and you're laying there about to take your last few breaths, I can guarantee you, you're not going to want to pick this up and start serving. And if that's the case, why does we spend so much time about it? You can use it for a study tool, and I'm not, you know, everybody, but you understand what I'm saying. Everything in this modern world is designed to rob us of that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we don't want to be a profane person, meaning what? That our actions toward this message of life, our actions are not what God expects us to have. That we actually become outside of the acceptable behavior, because God expects us to take this and hold it reverently,
right,
and put it into action. And so, and I'll say this as I close. In the Bible, the Bible says the Jews seek a sign, and the Greeks seek wisdom. But what do the Gentiles seek after? The Gentiles, the way recorded in the Bible, the Gentiles just said, Jesus, just speak your word.
Yep.
So we don't have to have a sign. We don't have to have a wonder. We don't have to have the wisdom, understand it like the Greeks seek a wisdom. We don't have to have understanding. We don't have to have none of that stuff, because all that is just, we want that person of Jesus Christ. That's what we want. We want that word and us as a Gentile people, him visiting the bride, visiting the Gentiles to take a bride for himself. He just is looking for a people that's like that and says, I'll take him. And all this other stuff, well, if it comes with him, fine, but I'm taking him. And if none of that other stuff comes, I'm still taking him.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody understand that? And so that's the way we want to be. We don't want to make the same mistake that Esau made. And there's a lot of other things we could say on there, but but I'll close with that. I'm going to be talking about the rapture quite a bit in the next services to come. And we're going to go into it deep because I feel like the Lord has really helped me see a whole lot. And you'll see yourself in the Bible more and more. Because I really believe that we're getting close to that time where things are going to change. I believe it'll be this year, but I know, you know, you can't really say that.
Yeah.
But the urgency and the things that's moving in the Spirit is moving in such a way that I really believe that we're going to see something happen major in this earth this year. Maybe it's not rapture, but I think you're going to see some major changes in world events. And life's going to be different.
Right.
Life's going to be different
right.
than what we've known thus far. Just bow our heart to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We just ask that you would help us, Lord, as we go from this place, that you would speak to our hearts these things that we've heard, that you would just let it go right down into our hearts, Lord, and that we would meditate upon them, and you'd bring a clarity to us, Lord, of what they mean. Because, Lord, we realize that you have visited us this day with a great and wonderful and mighty message. And, Lord, we want to give it honor. We want to have reverence to it the way we need to.
Yes.
We realize, God, that when a young lady becomes married to a man, she's held herself in virtue for all those years, but then it comes time where she has to learn how to surrender. And we ask, God, that you would help us. Lord, we don't exactly know how to surrender in a lot of ways, but we ask, God, that you would help us just to surrender to you, that you might perform in us what you desire, Lord, that we would bring forth fruit to you, and God, that we would be a people that the world could see that's definitely different than them. We pray, God, because you said in your word that if you'd be lifted up, you'd draw all men. And Lord, we know that means a life that's different than the rest of the world. So we ask, God, that when they're in sickness and when they're in sorrow, when they're in pain and they have no answers, we pray, God, that they see those answers in us and that we're able to impart to them those things, Lord, even unto eternal life. Lord, to be able to give to them the blessing of life. We ask that you would help us in these things. We get ready to go from this place. We thank you, Lord, for this time together. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing a song. I don't know what we'll sing just yet, but let's sing a song before we go. I guess we can sing that same song we just did, Have Your Way. Because we usually sing that when we come to service before we're fixing to minister the word, we say, Lord, have your way. But I think as we go from this place tonight, we can still say that.
Yeah.
Have your way, Lord.
Yeah.
Right? You've got to really want him to have his way.
Amen.
We're past the time we're playing around. This is not working anymore. We've got to come to the place. And I know that if we can't do it ourselves, God will get it. But I think we should just really, really check up and ask ourselves, Lord, where are we standing here in our relationship with you? How important really are you to us? Oh, have your way.
Speak your words.
be dismissed now. Just be in prayer about the request that was given to service earlier tonight. God would have his way. When I hear, like when my wife sent me the text today about the my brother-in-law's mother-in-law, he said, oh, cancer, liver cancer, oh. But I really believe God wants to do great things among his people, even though it might not be for the whole world to see. But I really believe that the people around us should be able to be blessed by our presence.
Amen.
Even if they can't come to the same message that you and I have, we ought to be able to be a blessing. Do you realize there's a lot of people that were healed by Jesus that probably never really went to the upper room or got the Holy Ghost or got an experience? You know, Brother Ram said there was prostitutes went across the platform and was healed, but there would be saints who missed it.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So even if people can't come to the same truth, not everybody's going to be up and down, up on that mountain, the same spot. There's going to be different grades of different people, different places, right? But the bride of Christ is going to be with him all on top in that city.
Amen.
Right? But when those people from outside come up there and pay their honor and glory, I think them people's going to know us.
Yes.
I think when they come in that city, they're going to be happy to see us. And we're going to look at them and they're going to look at us. Right? Because we've touched their lives here.
Yeah.
And so that's why I wanted to say is to look at what we talked about tonight and realize, you know what, in cases like that, we really need to come into a frame of mind where we know that God's going to do something.
Amen.
Amen. And be a blessing, because we should be a people that know how to touch lives like nobody else.
Yes.
God bless you. You're dismissed.